Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Showtime Radio Time. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit, broadcasting to you live in your sweet, beautiful ears, no matter how ugly you think they are. Oh, snap! It is actually a bit of a dreary day over here in mid-Missouri. Yikes, look at those clouds. I mean, they're beautiful, but they're getting an overcast. How is your part of the world? It is. Sorry, everyone. This is live broadcast, and I'm giving you the worst news ever. Anyways, if you are tuning in, you are tuning in because there is a book about to be read. I am so stoked. I am so excited. I love this book, and I'm really glad I'm reading it to you all. It's actually one of my favorites. That I've worked on and that I've read silently. Good grief. It's so nice to be reading this book again, and it's actually making me realize that even this book needs a little bit of tweaking. Yikes. Okay. So let's see. I think I am actually going to go ahead and talk about the book a little bit, I guess. I mean, I've done like a practice reading of it to figure out how long it would take to read. And it's actually a pretty short amount of time, I'm surprised. But anyways, I think what I will do is, I guess, talk about the inspiration of it. Before I started writing this book, I was actually trying to figure out what book to write next, I guess. Not what to write next, but I was realizing that all the celebrities that are twins, especially identical twins, I've realized that their situations of the movies or shows that they're being put in are very similar. And of course, there's also the Prince and the Pauper story. No one can ever forget that, even though I haven't really read the book. I probably should. But the interesting thing about it, though, is that I saw this connection and I realized maybe I could try to write something different. I've never read the book The Prince and the Pauper. I probably should. And what I tried to do is put my own take to it. Instead of having it Prince and the Pauper, I figured Princess and the Heiress. Because in every single story, the pauper is always poor. That's pretty much the definition of pauper, actually. A poor person, a poor child. But I figured, what if the second identical twin, identical generation, is actually also rich? Because seriously, being in a rich family but living as a poor citizen, or it's one of those situations where I think a little more complex, a little more complicated. That's what I like to do. I can never make it so simple. I've tried writing simple books. It doesn't work. Oh, man. I have tried. I really have. It just doesn't work. But to make things interesting with the princess and the heiress, technically I should have called the book that, but I like the royal conspiracy better, considering how well it ties in with the book. I'm not, as much as I love misleading titles, I try not to do that with my books, at least most of them. So since I'm kind of already am a little bit tight on time, I'm going to go ahead and talk about what happened in the previous reading. The previous reading was the first reading, the first recording session, the first segment of The Royal Conspiracy. It's a great book. Now, I'm going to read you all the altered version of the description I wrote for you guys. I mean, it's in today's segment's description, but I'm going to read it to you anyways. So here it is. Inspired by several Prince and Pauper films, this story tells of two smart women. The adopted heiress learned to survive. The princess had a fashion designer for a father figure. Though they led separate lives in different worlds, the two held so much in common. They would have grown their lives apart, but fate decreed they wouldn't. I actually really like that. I love that. It's great. So in the previous reading, the previous segment was basically the introduction of the princess and the heiress. The first person I introduced was the heiress, and her name is Tenaski. She is part of a traveling tribe that her adopted father brought her into. Because originally he caught her pickpocketing his pockets, surprisingly. So he decided to train her, and once he started training her, he started have feelings for her, and he decided to adopt. That's basically what the start of this is. It's actually Tenaski. It's basically kind of explaining a little bit about that situation, and then going into Tenaski going through the market of kingdom that they're living in, which is called Anur. Me and my unique names, jeez. And so she pickpockets someone who happens to be a fashion designer. And so he actually spots her a few seconds later, and asks her to be a fitting model for him. And she hesitates because she doesn't want to do that. Instead, he gives her $20 worth of Anur money, and pretty funny considering that she already stole his wallet. And he actually explains to her that he always carries a spare wallet with him for those who go their way of stealing his wallet, actually. So consider this. He's a fashion designer, rich enough to buy a lot of wallets. And he's offering her a job. It's interesting. But she hesitates. She tells him no because she doesn't want to leave her family, her father. It's really interesting. And of course, she and her father found this lost language. I'm not going to say what language it is. I want you guys to figure it out for yourself. But she and her father found this language, lost language, and they tried to kind of revive it at least a little bit, phrase by phrase. So far, I've used Tob-Top, which is father, Tanib-Top, which is chief. But since her father is like the king / chief, I kind of shortened that a bit by turning it into Keith, which is K-I-E-F. Get it? Ha, I love that. And so after that, and of course a little bit of explanation of Teacher, which is her adopted father, the Keith of their tribe, which is called Meeda, M-E-E-D-A. After that, I introduce the princess, which her name is Moira Tandri Dottir. She is Swedish. Icelandic. Sorry. Because the last name is Icelandic, I decided to give her an Icelandic accent. It's actually been a while since I played one of the Nancy Drew games, which has Icelandic accents. They're probably fake accents, but I'm doing my best to imitate that. Moira's nickname happens to be Mosey. And I am talking a little bit too much already. I need to start reading. But before I continue, I probably should explain what happened at the end of it. Mosey insists that she and her nursemaid go for a walk. And if you don't really know what a nursemaid is, it's, well, kind of self-explanatory. I kind of took that from Romeo and Juliet. Because they had nursemaids back then. Might as well put that back in. All right, so we are at her father's her home, and her father is trying to get her to go to that designer. And that's where we're starting. let's see, which part do I... Oh, that's right. She found the necklace that he added to her mementos and told her, he told her that it was part of her dowry. Awesome. Thank you, Top Tope, she whispered. Her father gently pulled her away. Now about that designer. I forgot what accent I gave him. Oh, well. Dad, please, she interrupted. I don't want to be away from the tribe. My place is here. As he gave her a look, Teacher sighed. Sweetheart, our next place will have rent, much like this one. We need money to survive, Tanaski. He knew she had to know, rather it be sooner than later.
What do you mean? I thought we had enough to live here for 5 years.
She narrowed her brows in confusion. Tanaski heard him grunt. We've had to use that money to protect some people, and this woman in particular. He used a gentle look. She sighed and nodded.
Okay, I'll go see him. Promise me that you won't cause any fights.
He laughed and hugged her. I promise if you do the same. As she nodded, Tanaski giggled. Whoops, forgot about that part. She left the conference room to pack a few things. It didn't take long for her to find Mr. Thomason's fashion studio. She knocked on the door before walking in. forgot his accent, shoot. And I just did the rehearse. I'll be right there. That sounded like that Dracula. Blair, blah, blah, blah. Sorry. What accent did I give him? Australian. I'll be right there, he called. Yeah, I told you, Australian.
Take your time, Mr. Thomason.
She put down a small suitcase. He soon realized he recognized her voice. Mr. Thomason smiled as he grabbed something he made that day. When he saw her, his smile widened. He bowed. She curtsied.
It is nice to see you, little miss.
Please, my name is Tanaski.
He carefully whipped what he held. She held in her breath.
Whoa, look at what a cloak.
Tanaski looked at him.
What color is that? I've seen it so many times.
It's a common...
Gosh, dang it, the accent.
It's a common color in Nula. Peach, he said with a small smirk.
Try it on, Miss Tanaski. She nimbly took the cloak, placed it around her shoulders, and tied the strings in front of her neck.
I knew it. The cloak is a perfect fit.
He nodded with approval.
I love it,
she said as she put up the hood. How fitting it was, the cloak happened to be identical to the princess's. When she lifted the hood to her head, that's when sense knocked into Mr. Thomason.
Hazel green eyes, oval face, delicate hands.
Why did I not see it sooner? Bitter Bell birthmark. The princess had a birthmark, too. All those times he thought she looked familiar. It was because she looked exactly like the Princess Moira.
She has a horse, though, he whispered.
Huh? What was that?
Tanaski didn't quite hear him. He paused, but for a moment. You have an uncanny resemblance to one of my clients. In fact, that exact spot, she has a birthmark, but it's the shape of a horse, not a bell.
How interesting.
You'll probably meet her someday. She used to come through the market every 4 months to visit a certain place.
It was actually the Royal Gold Mines.
What happened?
Her brows rose in curiosity.
Her mother became ill. Now she comes through once a month to help her out.
He sighed and thought, it hasn't been the same since her father died.
It sounds like you know them well,
she said, giving him a look. He shook his head.
I only hear rumors now. Her parents were a few of my clients who made my business booming.
I am thankful for that and dedicate my time to them when they need it.
What kind of rumors have you heard?
She wondered with a small smile. You'll hear them soon enough. She opened her mouth to say something, but he continued to talk. Now, have you conceded my offer? He raised a brow, eyeing the suitcase. Tanaski nodded.
I told my father about it. He insisted I take your offer,
she said with a giggle. Ah, and your mother? Tanaski sighed nervously.
My parents died when I was 5. Someone caught me pickpocketing. After taking care of me for a while, he decided to adopt me.
That's beautiful. What's his name? I may know him.
You don't.
She shook her head.
We moved here three years ago. Besides, if you did, we would already be gone. Father and I have learned that the queen doesn't like other royal families to rule in the same kingdom.
She gasped and widened her eyes.
I should not have said that.
She covered her mouth. Tanaski, do relax. I am not a tattletale. He placed a hand on one of hers. Unfortunately, you're not the only tribe. She looked at him with shock and fright.
How did you know I'm from a tribe?
I can tell already that your family travels when you get noticed too well. The same thing happens with the other tribe. Surprisingly, they are some of my popular clients. She whistled in surprise. That's between you and me, though, right? He raised a brow in question.
Tanaski nodded. Of course, Mr. Thomason.
She carefully pulled back the hood.
Is there anything you would like me to do?
I still have some designs to outline. It should take but a few hours to finish. He took her suitcase. Let me show where you will stay doing your job. A good portion of my clients live all over the kingdom, but the rest are in this area. He led her to the back of his studio. Of course, while I work on the outlines, you are welcome to explore my workshop or outside. I shall see you in 3 hours. She nodded as he left her new bedroom. She liked what he had done to it. He decorated the room with different shades of purple and various designs of flowers and butterflies. Especially liked the lavender butterflies hanging on a mobile. After she unpacked, she decided to go outside for a walk. She put her hood up as she walked to the market. She enjoyed walking in the market more than anything else. It was second nature to think so, since she had lived that way for most of her life. Tanaski watched people mill about, buying what they needed or desired. Observing them made her hungry. She didn't have much for lunch, and happened to have change from grocery shopping. The heiress pulled a few coins after taking an apple when someone shouted at her. She gasped and looked at the shopkeeper. Are you stealing that apple? He shouted. The fruit shopkeeper tried to correct him, but it was too late. Help! Thief! Help! Whistles were blown. Tanaski panicked as she dropped the apple and coins. When palace guards rushed in, she ran off. Stop her! They cried out. She gulped and kept running. What do I do? What do I do? She thought. She looked around while she ran. He couldn't find any good hiding places. Someone suddenly grabbed her and pulled her in an alley. When the guards ran past her, their hidden area, she covered Tanaski's mouth. The nursemaid looked around outside the hidden area.
They're gone, she whispered. Thanks, ma'am. Who are you?
Ma'am, you know to call me Rabia Mosey, the nursemaid said. Come on, this venture of yours has gotten out of hand. We should get back to the palace.
Wait, what? Tanaski looked at her. I'm not who you think I am.
Oh, do come on. Rabia grabbed her arm and pulled her toward the palace. Tanaski pulled away successfully and ran off again. It didn't take long for her to bump into someone. The two of them fell to the ground. They heard the guards shouting and heading toward them.
Come on,
Tanaski begged on. They quickly hid. They waited for the guards to pass. When the guards were gone, the two heard Rabia calling.
Please come back, she called out.
Princess Moira sighed. She looked at the woman she bumped into.
They gasped. Whoa,
they whispered.
You look like me.
Tanaski widened her eyes.
You must be the client Mr. Thomason told me about.
All right, here's the accent. Let me try to remember someone from the game. You know Mr. Thomason, the fashion designer?
Of course. I see him all the time in the market. He offered me a job to be his fitting model.
She paused for a moment to look at her more.
He said I have an uncanny resemblance to you, but he never said we were identical. What's your name?
They asked simultaneously. They giggled. Please, call me Moira.
Whoa, you have the same name as the princess.
As she raised a brow, Mosey winced. Tanaski widened her eyes.
Oh, I'm Tanaski, Your Highness.
She curtsied. They walked further down the alley.
Aren't you supposed to be in the palace? I had the sudden urge to walk among my people.
I haven't done this since I was young. Unknowingly, she bit her lower lip.
I couldn't help but do so. It felt as if something would happen today. Well, of course, you discovered me.
Of course, Mosey said with a giggle.
Mosey!
Ravia called. The princess scoffed.
Who is that? She thought I was you.
That is my nursemaid. She has raised me for a long time. Ugh, testing Icelandic. Budget. That is my nursemaid. She has raised me for a long time. He is before father died. She looked around. It seemed there were no hiding spots.
He moved behind me. Mosey, where are you?
Her nursemaid called.
I'm here, Ravia,
she announced gently. Ravia appeared from another alley.
That running was too much. Would you please buy me a cup of warm cider?
Your Highness, we must not dilly-dally. Your mother may want to speak with you.
Please, Ravia, I'm parched.
Her nursemaid scoffed.
I shall be back,
she said, walking away. Mosey stepped around to face her new friend.
Goodness, she is persistent.
The princess giggled.
She is. She became that way over the years. I suppose I have been stubborn.
She raised her brows instead of shrugging. Tanaski giggled. I'm always stubborn. My dad actually insisted on accepting Mr. Thomason's offer.
I would rather stay with our family and find a new home for us.
She paused.
What about you?
The princess thought for a few moments.
I tire of lessons, lunch meetings, and speeches. I would rather be in the library reading science books all day.
You like science?
I love science. It has helped me to tell the difference between iron pyrite and gold. What is iron pyrite?
Tanaski asked with confusion.
It is commonly known as fool's gold.
Sorry. It is commonly known as fool's gold. She paused for a moment.
I use that knowledge when I go to the gold mines. Gold mines?
She gasped.
That's where you go every month when you cross the market. You learn fast.
Mosey giggled.
Is it true your mother is ill? It is.
She nodded.
That is why I go to the mines more often. I am taking some of her duties so she can get better. Have you asked for doctors?
Of course. And they don't know what is wrong.
Perhaps my father can help. Teacher deals with herbal medicine. He may know a way to heal your mother. I shall talk with my mother about it.
As the thoughts entered her mind, she sighed.
I wonder if you and I are related. There's no way to tell us apart.
There is, actually. Tanaski nodded.
We both have a birthmark in the same place.
The shape of mine is a bell. She showed the princess.
How curious that is. My birthmark is a horse. Oh, I wish we could stay here. Oh, I wish we could stay here. We could talk for hours.
She smiled, as did her new friend.
Yeah, I should actually get back. Mr. Thomason might have his outlines done by now.
Of course. And Ravia should be back any second.
I hope to see you again, Tanofsky. I do too. She gasped quietly as she realized something. If we do meet again, we should wear different cloaks. People will recognize you more than me. No offense. No offense is taken, and you are right. I will choose my favorite color. What will you decide? I am going to ask Mr. Thomason to make another one for me in teal.
At that moment, Bravia came back with warm cider. She saw Mosey and then Tanofsky. She gasped. The cup of cider slipped from her hand.
Goodness me! It's uncanny!
The two friends giggled.
Even the hair is the same!
Sorry.
Even the hair is the same! Same?
Yikes. Ooh, and I am out of time. I gotta stop there. So I hope you all have a great morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit saying goodbye with... Whoops, I forgot the song title. Where Are You Tonight by Jonathan something. I forgot his name. It's in the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Bye, everyone.